Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly, teaching and admonishing one another in all wisdom, singing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs with thankfulness in your hearts to God. Let's pray one more time. Father, we have the word of Christ before us, and we ask that what we're commanded in this verse will be a reality for us today, this week, and in this coming year, and in our lives as Christians. Be present to help us this morning. We pray these things in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ. Amen. Mountain Lake is just up the road here, up 460 in Pembroke, and not Smith Mountain Lake, that's in Roanoke, but Mountain Lake here in Giles County, and it was once full of water. Beautiful place, and with that water came a lot of life. There were bass, and there were bluegill, and along the shores, salamanders and frogs, and birds would migrate there in their migration and find water to drink, and deer, bear, raccoons would come to the shore side of the lake and drink. And that lake sat on top of limestone, which is very porous. And in the early 2000s, there was not a lot of rain. And so it went through a drought and began to dry up. And that combined with the porous limestone, some of the dirt on the ground got moved around, and the sediment caused channels to open up, and the water began to flow freely out of the lake down into the surrounding streams and ravines. And by 2008, Mountain Lake was almost all dried up, and just mud on the ground, dry, cracking. And that's how it is still to this day. Because of it drying up, the wildlife right surrounding that lake and using the lake for the purpose of life and water has diminished greatly. No bass, no catfish. The amphibians are gone. The birds have chosen a different migration route. And the point is this: where the water comes and falls and stays, there's abundance of life in that place. But where the water doesn't come or doesn't stay and drains off, there life diminishes greatly. And Scripture is like water to the Christian's soul. And where there's abundance of Scripture and we're taking it in and it's dwelling within us and staying with us, there's vibrancy in our lives and in the lives of people around us, those that we touch and talk with. And we need to be watchful on this front. A decade can pass in your life and in my life where we only receive a few trickles. Some people drink only soda. Maybe you've been one of those people, or you know some people. Some people drink only coffee. And first thing they drink in the morning, afternoon, night, and seldom drink water. And what happens when you only drink soda, when you only drink coffee? You're tired, dehydrated. Your organs are crying out, "Give me water or I'm going to die." And then you just give it more soda or more coffee, and the organs are just grabbing for any water and working against the dehydrating elements of sugar and caffeine, just hoping for some drops of water when a human body needs a lot of water for health. And many Christians don't take in the word the way that we're supposed to. And life can pass surviving off of little scripture images that float around on social media, or a podcast that references a scriptural verse here or there, or even reading good Christian books that reference scripture. And a Christian that survives just off of that spiritual soda, spiritual caffeine, at the end of life, there's much less fruit in their lives than there would have been had they drunk deeply of the scriptures. I don't want that to be true of your life. I don't want that to be true of my life. I don't want that to be true of the life of our church. And this passage this morning helps us to move away from skimming by in the shallow waters and move into the depths of God's word. The main point of this sermon is the text itself. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly. And we're just going to look at that one phrase. This is going to be a three-part sub-series within Colossians where we look at some distinguishing marks of the church, things that we want to be marked by. We want to be a scripture people. That's what we're going to see today. Next week, we want to be a speaking people. We'll see that next week. And then the following week, we want to be a singing people. And right now, we're looking at us being a scripture people as Christians and as kings. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly. I'm going to ask five questions. We're going to ask five questions of this phrase. The first of them is this. What is the word of Christ? And I'll introduce each question as we go along. The first is, what is the word of Christ? We're commanded in chapter 3, verse 16, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly. What is it? Isn't this a pleasant way of speaking about the Bible? The word of Christ. All of Scripture bears witness of Christ. It has his aroma. It bears his flavor. When we read a page, we hear the voice of Christ. When we read a book in Scripture, it points toward Jesus. This phrase, word of Christ, certainly refers to the gospel, the message of Christ's death, burial, and resurrection. And you and I need to have the gospel dwelling within us. Listen, you can know a lot of Scripture and not know the gospel. This is not just the word in general, but the word of Christ and the central message of Christ and his person and his work is that he died in our place under God's judgment. And he rose from the dead and he offers forgiveness to any who would come to him and trust in him. So we need to have the gospel dwelling in our hearts. And not just the gospel in simplicity, but continue to go deeper and deeper in our understanding of the gospel. Christ's two natures, that he's the Son of David, that he's ascended in power to the right hand of God, that he has an eternal kingdom. When we read the word of Christ, it certainly means the gospel. No doubt it also refers to all the scriptures that are directly about Christ. Jesus' life, his birth, his teaching, his relation to John the Baptist, his famous sermons, his prayer life, his fastings, his temptations, his miracles, his humility, his teachings on leadership. The word of Christ speaks directly to Christ and his life. We can be acquainted with many things in Scripture. It's a good thing to be very acquainted with the life of Jesus himself. But when we say the word of Christ, we're not just talking about the gospel. We're not just talking about those things about Jesus. It's the whole Bible. It's all of this book. It all is the word of Christ. It's not just the red letters in a red letter Bible. The word of God is the word of Christ. In 1 Peter, Peter tells us that when the Old Testament prophets prophesied, that it was the Spirit of Christ in them that spoke to them about what was to come. So even the pennings of Jeremiah was the Spirit of Christ leading Jeremiah to pen things that would come about the coming Christ. The Old Testament scriptures are the word of Christ. In John, Jesus said, "You search the scriptures thinking that in them you'll find life, but it's them that speak about me." And he's referring to the Old Testament scriptures. They're all pointing to Jesus. And so that after Jesus' resurrection, Jesus could begin with Moses and all the prophets and interpret to the people everything that the scriptures say about himself. So what is the word of Christ? That's this first question we're answering. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly means let the gospel, the life and teachings of Christ, and the entire Bible dwell in you richly. Here's the next question. Question number two. Who should it dwell in? Who is it supposed to dwell in? First, Christian individuals. You, me. Certainly the lost. They should be acquainted with the scriptures, but primarily here, Christian individuals. The lost should make use of the scriptures. We're going to, Lord willing, memorize that catechism question and answer this week. May all men make use of the Holy Scriptures. All men are not only permitted, but commanded and exhorted to read, hear, and understand the scriptures. This is why when you do family worship regularly, when you have guests over that aren't believers, what a ministry to them to bring them into the light of God's word and say, hey, you know what? We usually do family worship. We're just going to gather around the living room and read some scripture together. Would you like to join us? And invite them in. What a testimony that even unbelievers can sit under the light of God's word, which is able to make them wise for salvation. But this specifically here is speaking about Christians, letting it dwell in Christians. How can the word of God dwell in somebody who's not a believer yet? And so this is Christians of all types, not just pastors, but children. Children, let this book right here enter into your ears and dwell in your hearts. Let the word of God, children, dwell in you richly. Not just children, but the elderly. Don't scam off of or bank on past decades of scriptural immersion. Find fresh food for your soul day in and day out. Singles who are busy at work and school, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly. Fathers who are busy in business and mothers who are trying to keep up with keeping the home, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly. All of us, as a body, let the word of Christ dwell in us richly. But not just Christians individually, the church as a whole. There's a corporate element to this passage. Look at verse 16 with me. He's been admonishing the body life of the church in Colossae. And look at verse 15. Let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, plural. And verse 16, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly. And the you there is plural. It would be y'all. It's the whole group, the body life of the church. And Paul is wanting the word of Christ to dwell in the midst of the people, in our speaking to one another, in our singing, in our conversations, in our teaching of one another, in our minds. We should be a word-centered people, a scripture people as the church. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly as individual Christians, and let it dwell in your body life richly as a church. My desire, saints, is that we would be marked by this. May it be true of me. May it be true of you. And not just in silos isolated from each other, but in our life together as we minister to one another and to others and speak. Let Christ's word dwell in your heart richly and find exit out of your mouth frequently as we interact with each other. Third question, what does it mean? What does dwell richly mean? What does dwell richly mean? I'll share a few things on what this means. First, just simply to abide or to live. To dwell is to make something your dwelling place. It's to abide, to make something your abode. And so this book right here takes up residence in your heart, in your mind. It lives there. It enters. It's here. It finds its home there. Also, what type of dwelling is this? It's to dwell as a master and not merely as a resident. One Bible commentator, Matthew Henry, he says this. He says it's not enough to keep Christ's word in a corner of our hearts, but his word must keep the house, not as a servant in a family who's under another's control, but as a master who has a right to prescribe to and direct all under his roof. When Christ's word dwells in us richly, what does that mean? It means that it is living within us in a ruling capacity, dwelling as a master. When we lived in India, we'd become acquainted with many people, and the upper income folks would oftentimes have helpers in the home or servants in the home, and they had servant quarters. And you'd look at a house, and it was very nice, elaborate. And then there would be this little closet in the corner with a little latch, and there's a little mat on the ground, and that's where the servant lived. And Matthew Henry's exhorting us on this passage, the word of Christ dwelling in your heart must not be like that. Just in the corner, coming, doing a little work, and back in. But rather, the master of the house who walks through the house, organizes, gives orders, instructs, rebukes, encourages, and governs the whole agenda of the household economy. Our lives should have Christ's word dwelling in us like that. Another thing, we're asking, what does it mean to dwell richly? It should be abundantly within us, richly. Always something to draw on. You put your hand in the bag and your hand grasps something and pulls it out. There's not a time where you reach in and you think, oh, there's nothing there. There's an abundance of dwelling of God's word in our hearts. Always a supply. I'm very refreshed, as I'm sure you are, with friends who live this way. I go to them. I know I'm about to meet them, get together with them, see them. And in whether it's a few sentences or a two-hour conversation, there are certain folks that I can count on. I know that he's going to or she's going to draw out of their deep wells of the word of Christ and give me something for my soul. I love those friends. They minister to me. And I think, tell my kids about some of them. I want to be like this person when I grow up. It's a good aim. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly so you can always draw on it and refresh others by it, refresh your own soul. What does it mean for Christ's word to dwell richly? It means that Christ's word takes up its abode in us as master ordering our dwelling and in great abundance so that it never runs out and can always be drawn upon. One author said this, the church is to be stocked with good teaching as a palace is filled with treasures. May our church be like that, stocked with the word of Christ as a palace is with treasures. Test your heart, friend. Is this true of you? Is this a reality in our lives as individuals and in our body life as a church? I used to be in web development. When you talk about programming, how do the words flow? It's easy. You can go on for days about it. When you talk about baking, how easy is it to speak about it? When you talk about sports, doesn't the conversation just come naturally? When you talk about a good brisket, just the words flow freely off your tongue. What happens when Christ is brought up? Does the conversation fall flat, silent? Is there nothing to draw upon to engage in such conversation? Is the treasure chest full of sand? Is the word of Christ your bosom friend? the one who's always there to keep you company. May it be so in our lives. Fourth question. How do we let it dwell richly in us? How do we let it dwell richly in us? I have a handful of practical considerations, both directly arising out of the text, but also some common wisdom from all of Scripture. How do we let Christ's word dwell in us richly? What do we do? What are some steps? First is go to the fount. Go to the fount. Read the word. Go to this book. Let your eyes fall on it. Take in words. Where the word is being read or preached, show up there. Be in those places. In the public preaching of God's word, something like this morning or other times. You know, Romans says this in Romans 15, faith comes from hearing, and hearing through the word of Christ. We need access to the fount. I've said it this way at times, that there are certain spigots that give water that God has ordained as means of grace and life. And the more frequently we're at those founts, at those spigots, the more are we able to drink and find nourishment. But if we're far from them and we don't enter, we don't go to the founts, we're cut off from access to those life-giving measures of grace, avenues of grace. Show up where God's word is read. Show up where God's word is preached. And you'll be surprised. Sometimes we think about church like this. I'm going to go, and I got something, but my life's not totally transformed. Sermon was okay today. We looked at the Bible. There's some points made. But we underestimate the effect of the week in, week out, steady diet of God's preached word and the day in, day out, steady diet of God's read word. It may not lift you up to the highest heaven, but the nourishment that it gives to your soul week in and week out, as those habits are formed, transform a life. In our missionary work, we've been able to move around quite a bit and visit various churches. And early on, being exposed to online preachers, there was this high standard of, man, these guys preach with power, and every church has to have a preacher like this. And then we would move around and visit churches for missionary work and step in and step out. And I'll have to tell you, it's very rare to find a Vodi Bakum or a Charles Spurgeon in a church. Most churches with faithful gospel preaching is an ordinary man unfolding God's unordinary word, marvelous word, and the steady diet of his faithful shepherding week in and week out transforms a body. And we've seen that body and said, wow, something's different here. And then you match it with the preacher and you think, he's not a Spurgeon, but there's something in this body. What is it? The word of Christ dwelling richly in that church. And so may Christ's word dwell richly in us. Go to the founts. But second, we're asking the question, how do we let it dwell richly in us? Another practical way, be sure that you digest it. Let it make a settled home in you by understanding it. When you open this book, don't be content just working through chapters. Say, God, I want to understand what I'm reading. Help me. Inform my mind. Give me understanding by your Spirit. When there's preaching, oh God, help me to be alert, be attentive, and to listen and digest and internalize what's being taught here. You can read the Bible every day and not let it settle into you. It's one thing to read with the eye. It's another to read with the mind and with the heart. We've all been there 10 pages later to realize that you've been having a conversation with somebody who's not even in the room and you don't know what you've just read. Fight that discipline and say, with discipline, and say, Lord, help me to digest what I'm taking in. You know, a lot of kids go to school and learn and memorize and get ready for a test and ace the test. And then 3 weeks later, all the content is lost, right? When we lived in India and we were learning Hindi, language was like that. We'd memorize and it would go, and we'd memorize and it would go. And there was a point when Hindi entered me. It got fused into my bones, in my blood. I could feel the word. Somebody would say something in Hindi and I wouldn't have to translate. I wouldn't have to think. I wouldn't have to say, oh, what? I would feel and speak. It was in me. It was part of me. It dwelled in me. And so there are times that people ask, you haven't been in India 4 years. Have you lost it? And it dwelt in me to such an extent to where I can say, I don't think I can ever lose it. I talk with a Hindi person and it comes out, and there's joy because it went not just in me. I didn't just go to the fount, but I digested it and it became part of me. May we be like that with the Word of God. Listen, it's better to read a single verse and let it soak into your heart and into your bones than to read an entire book and to not digest it. Come to this book as a beggar looking for bread, and when you find that bread, stop, chew it, digest it, apply it to your heart and mind, to your soul, and find nourishment for it. If you work through a Bible reading plan, I encourage it. There's such good in reading through the whole Bible. But at the end, take one or two concepts or phrases from what you've read and internalize those. We're not going to be able to internalize everything, but take one or two concepts or phrases and chew on it and suck the marrow out of it and apply it to your heart. Letting it settle requires hearing and reading and then getting the real spiritual meaning, believing it, living upon it, drinking it, eating it. How are we to let it dwell in us richly? Here's another practical thing. Drink it frequently. Drink it frequently. Tumblers. You love them or you hate them. I won't tell you my disposition on it, but there's been an ongoing conversation in our house about tumblers that seem to be tumbling all over the place, sometimes in the front row. But what are they? You know, about 10 years ago, I don't know what happened. Everybody started carrying water around with them. It's fine. Take your water. This is a fun inter-family conversation. We love water bottles. I love water bottles. But, you know, 10 years ago, people just started carrying water. I don't remember ever seeing that. At school, no kids had it. We had drinking fountains, right? You went to the drinking fountain in between classes. If you really were thirsty, you'd say, can I get a drink of water? And the teacher sometimes would say, wait till after class, because you can wait an hour before you take a drink. We don't need it every second of every day. But we should be like that with Scripture, right? Thank God for tumblers, for our physical bodies. Use them. But Scripture, we should return to it frequently. We shouldn't go long extents without going to God's Word. Pull it up in the morning. Meditate upon it. In the margins of your day, when you use the restroom at work, when you're done cooking one thing and are moving on to another, just take 2 minutes and settle your heart. Pray to God. Meditate on a passage. Read a passage. Return frequently to God's Word and be nourished by it. In a meeting with two or three other believers, if you have an open Bible between you, it is time well spent. Be frequent in your reading of Scripture with other saints in informal gatherings. It would do great good for your soul and for the souls of others. Think about your friendships. When was the last time you just said, hey, you want to read Colossians 1 or Deuteronomy chapter 2? Be moved to open Scripture with others. That's one way we can let Christ's word dwell in us richly. Another practical thing, memorize it. Memorize the word of Christ. Meditate upon it. The psalmist said, I have stored up your word in my heart that I might not sin against you. Store God's word in your heart. There may come a day, you never know, when you don't have access to this book. How sweet it is to have God's word in your chest pocket, to be able to recall his promises, to give light to your path and strength to your soul. Memorize God's word. There's a marvelous little booklet called A Guide to Extended Scripture Memorization. I commend it to you. It helps you think through how to memorize large portions of Scripture, even books. A final practical thing. We're asking the question, how do we let Christ's word, we've talked about what it is, Christ's word, we've talked about what it means to dwell, and now we're asking, how do we let it dwell? The last practical way of letting it dwell in us is by prioritizing it. Prioritize the word of God. Spurgeon talks about the Bible as being like the sun and all other disciplines, the planets that orbit around the sun. Let God's word take priority around which the rest of your life orbits. If you could read Spurgeon or the Bible, read the Bible. If you had to choose between reading the patristics, the Cappadocian Fathers, or Gregory of Nazianzus, or reading the Bible, read the Bible. If you could memorize the Baptist Catechism, and it had to be between that or memorizing Scripture, away with the Baptist Catechism, memorize Scripture. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly. It outweighs everything. You know Spurgeon's phrase that's often attributed to him, visit many good books, but live in one book. That ought to be our Christian life. Systematic theology, historic theology, things that we should love and dive into. But we ought not to prioritize that over Scripture. We don't pit them against each other. They're not contrary to each other. But we prioritize Scripture in our reading. It's Scripture that we need, and we need to be in it much so that it can be in us much. Paul, in his letter to Timothy, his second letter, he wrote him some practical things. He was away. He wanted Timothy to bring some things. He said, Timothy, when you come, bring the cloak that I left with Carpus at Troas, also the books, and above all, the parchments. I understand that to mean the scriptures, the scriptural writings. Above all the books, bring to me the parchments. God, give us that heart. Reaching for a book on the nightstand, reaching for a book on the shelf. Above all these, give me the parchments. Give me the sacred scriptures. Give me the word of Christ. Open it and feast on God's good word. The Bible reading plans that are here in the back, I encourage you, if you don't have a plan, to join in on that. If you fall behind, jump back in. Set reasonable goals. Stick with it. Form habits. Who you are in 10 years is largely shaped by your scriptural intake, letting Christ's word dwell in you richly today and next year. How do we let the word of Christ dwell in us richly? Go to the founts. Be sure to digest it. Drink frequently, memorize it, and prioritize it. Here's the final question. Final question. Question number 5. Why ought we to do this? What's the purpose? Why? To not do so would mean death. A man goes out without water, he shrivels and dies. We go without scripture, we shrivel and die. And, you know, the scriptures dwelling in one's heart is a mark of being a believer. So much so that Jesus saw not having the scripture in you being a mark of an unbeliever. when speaking to the Pharisees, he says, I know that you are offspring of Abraham, yet you seek to kill me because my word finds no place in you. They knew the word, but it was not dwelling within them in a saving way. Much is lost when we don't. Why do it? So much is lost when we don't. You miss a scroll through social media after work. Have you lost anything? You miss an evening in the scriptures, and you've lost a changed heart. To miss a podcast on current events on your way to work, you may have lost a little. But to miss time memorizing scripture on your drive, you've lost a world of change in your soul, in your friendships, in your church, and in your family. To miss time reading through Jude is to miss the strength that's needed to give you a bulwark against false teaching. Why do we do this? Why do we let it dwell in us richly? We need it. I need it. I need water. I need food. We need spiritual food and water. Do you not have a job? You're in between jobs. You're wondering where a paycheck's going to come from. Christ's word gives you instruction on diligence and on trust when you don't know what's going to come tomorrow. You lack strength in parenting and wisdom. Christ's word is a water to weary souls who are struggling in parenting. And it gives instruction on training and teaching and disciplining children. Do you struggle with loneliness or laziness? Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly. You need Christ's word for all of your sicknesses, all of your difficulties. I need it too. When we let Christ's word dwell in us richly, we bear a lot of fruit. We can think of Psalm 1, the tree planted by streams of water. Its leaf doesn't wither. It bears fruit in season. When we're planted in this word and it's dwelling in us richly, it bears much fruit. So friends, in conclusion, in summary, we're a scripture people. Who are we as Christians, as a church? We're a scripture people. May that be true of our church. If you move away in a few years and you're at another church and in another place and you reflect back at your time at King's, I pray that I would live in such a way and we all would live in such a way that you can say, man, my time there was a time full of the word of Christ. I drank deeply. I was taught to love God's word. I was taught to memorize God's word. I was taught to read it and talk about it and understand it. Oh, Christ's word is supreme. I thank God for my season there. May God do that. And if he's going to do that here, that depends on me. And that depends on each and every single one of you. If your heart's cold this morning and numb to God's word, I get it. We've all been there. I've been there. I remember a particular time in my early Christian walk where struggling with sin, numb, hadn't been in the word. And I'd look at the Bible and I'd think, I have zero desire to read that right now. Cold, numb, hardened. But I knew that that is exactly what I needed. It was the hammer to break up my stony heart. It was the fire to melt my heart. And so in faith, I picked up that little orange, worn-out Gideon New Testament, drove to a coffee shop, and I said, every day I'm coming here, and I'm just reading a little bit. And I read through Luke, and I would just get through a few verses and meditate on them. And day one, my heart is cold and hard. And I say, I'm coming back. Day two, my heart is cold and hard. I'm coming back. Day three, I open that book and it starts to warm my heart to where I could sense something again. Day four and day five and day six, the word of Christ dwelling in me richly began to melt my icy heart and warm me up again to where a couple weeks in, I hungered for it and I longed for it and it was transforming me. Dear saint, if your heart is cold to God's word, go to it in faith. If it's cold again, return to it in faith. Say, God, melt my stony heart, my icy heart. Change me. And day in and day out, by faith, we turn to this good book until it dwells in your heart richly. Let's pray. God, we thank you for your word, and we ask that you would lead us to drink deeply of these scriptures. I pray that myself and each of these saints and us in our body life, that the word of Christ would dwell in us richly. Help us to be a scripture people. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.